I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. The tabla player and composer Zakir Hussain is an icon of Indian classical music, and he'll be performing at the Palladium with Bela Fleck on Thursday, November 2nd. Zakir is widely acknowledged as one of the greatest living masters of the tabla. He learned the instrument as a child from his father, Ala Raka, best known for his long association with sitar player Ravi Shankar. Zakir Hussain has worked with the most revered names in South Asian classical music, from Ali Akbar Khan to Yu Srinivas. Zakir has also been a relentless innovator, collaborating with pop music stars like George Harrison and Tina Turner, infusing the tabla with electronic music, psychedelic rock, jazz, and many other styles. This year, Zakir celebrated his 50th anniversary collaborating with jazz guitarist John McLaughlin as part of the group Shakti. This year also found Zakir continuing his ongoing collaboration with banjo player Bela Fleck. I discussed all of this and more during a recent talk with Zakir Hussain. Let's join our conversation. Zakir, thank you so much for taking time to speak to our listeners today.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yes, my pleasure. And congratulations on all the amazing work you've been doing over the last few years. I know you were recently awarded with the Kyoto Prize in Music. And this is a very, very prestigious
award. It's a big
honor.
It's very prestigious. And I guess behind the Nobel, it's the highest in terms of award given in the music field. So I'm deeply indebted to the panel that decided to bestow this blessing on me. And so
I wanted to mention the past musicians who have received this award, just a few: Pierre Boulez, Messiaen, John Cage, Xenakis, Cecil Taylor. How does it feel to be in that group of
musicians? To stand in that line of musicians? I mean, I don't know what I did to be in there, but I certainly will do my best to be able to be deserving of it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going to discuss your upcoming concert with Bela Fleck, but first I wanted to ask about a major milestone in your life this year. 2023 marks the 50th anniversary of Shakti, a legendary group you co-founded with guitarist John McLaughlin in 1973. You celebrated Shakti's anniversary with a new album and a tour. Any reflections you'd like to share on Shakti's 50th anniversary?
It is amazing to be working with John these many decades down the road and still have the same kind of energy and excitement and fire in our interaction. And, the love is there, you know, when we are playing music, and the respect for each other's ability to be able to pull it together as and when called upon. And so this is, very special. I mean, watching and experiencing us playing music this time around on the tour, harking back down 50 years, back 50 years, it appeared to be the same. The energy was just as, buzzing. It's good to be able to celebrate 50 years, not only thinking about what we were, but where we are and where we are going. And that makes us still alive and well and kicking. And so thank God for that. Tak 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 t
And Zakir, I spoke with you a few years ago, and we discussed your work with tabla beat science and the relationship between Indian classical music and electronic music. And now here in 2023, we're entering a new dimension of music, which is the world of AI, artificial intelligence. There are many musicians and engineers developing AI tools for use in Hindustani and Carnatic music. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the role AI might have in the future of Indian classical music.
The first hurdle to cross is to be able to get to know the technology. And once you get to know the technology, then it is possible for you to be able to delve into it, go deep into that world. There's a lot of young musicians of today, like I mentioned, Shankar Mahadevan and Selva Ganesh and Ganesh Rajagopalan and so many great Bollywood composers of the moment. People like A.R. Rahman or Shankar Ehsaan Loy or Saleem and Suleiman and stuff, they are all looking into this. They are all working in studios trying to figure out how to best use this. What is interesting about this, at least with these names that I put in front of you, is that they are all well-trained and tried and true practitioners of the art form of music in its core organic form. And so having those kind of musicians at the helm of being able to run parallel to this new technology and eventually get to a point where the paths cross and be able to, in a very comfortable and well-informed way, incorporate it into our system. We have this instrument called the Tanpura, which is a drone instrument that most Indian classical musicians use. A musician sits in the back of the duo who's performing and keeps playing this drone instrument. Now that drone instrument has been replaced by an app that plays the same thing. And so now we have physically lost a human who did that stuff and instead have a machine. So these things have to be taken into account. Are we going to want to, in the future, get rid of actual human beings who do a certain work that brings the human warmth into it and keeps them employed and, has, a spontaneity of, oh, no, try this or do that, as opposed to a technological device that will decide for you what it is that needs to be injected into the proceedings as it goes along. So these are questions that are still to be answered, but I do feel that if I'm going to get involved in AI, that that I better know the process, that I better know what that technology is, so that I may be able to converse on that table with that spirit, whatever that spirit is, in its language, and feel comfortable building a conversation.
As you know, the great vocalist and performer Tina Turner passed away earlier this year.
Yes.
A revered icon of American music and culture. I read an article from 2004 that said Tina Turner studied music with you in preparation for a Merchant Ivory film called The Goddess. I don't think the film was ever made, but is that true? Did Tina Turner study music with you?
Well, I wouldn't call it study. Who can teach a goddess like that and an incredible performer what to do with music? She was already so out there. I mean, if anything, I would be studying with her. But I was basically a coach, a producer, a composer of this project for Merchant Ivory Film, where she was going to play the goddess based on a book called Transposed Heads. But it never came to pass because after finalizing all the songs and everything and even recording some basic tracks and stuff and me meeting her and arranging for a Indian vocal coach for her, the director, Ismail Merchant, passed away. And that kind of effectively halted the project because there was no one else who was able to take it on and do it the way it needed to be done. So unfortunately for me, it did not come to fruition. Getting to know her was a very special experience for both of us. A human being par excellence, you know, a lady of incredible gentleness and love and affection, and having gone through so much pain and suffering in her life, all she wanted to do was share love and affection with everybody else, and to have that come to you in Limitless was just a fantastic time.
Did you say there were maybe some fragments of recordings you made with her?
Which I guess won't see the light of day, but it's just a personal treasure that I have and hold dear every now and then to listen to and just smile in her presence.
Zakir, you'll be performing here in central Indiana on November 2nd with an amazing group, including the banjo virtuoso Bela Fleck, the bansuri player Rakesh Sharasia, and the double bassist Edgar Meyer. You also have a new album with this group, and you've had a long artistic partnership with Bela Fleck. Why has this been such an enduring collaboration?
It is actually, in a way, a continuation of my life as a Shakti member. Both Bela Fleck and Edgar Meyer, since their young age, I'm much older than them, were fans of our group Shakti. And they would listen to that music and they would discuss it, dissect it, and, you know, try to learn something about the way John and I made music. And that made them so curious and so eager to want to sort me out and see if they could get me to work with them. And that's how it all started. And we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from speaking in our own languages of music, but then we get on the stage and we play together. And suddenly, it's like we have installed in our tongues a translator that instantly translates into each other's languages, and now we are able to understand each other, speak with each other, and be able to come out at the other end with a unified statement that speaks to the audience with us as one thought, one mind, one process. It was true of Shakti, and it is true of this band.
A quick follow-up question about Bela Fleck. I'm curious about the musical compatibility between the tabla and the banjo. Is there a natural compatibility between the banjo and Indian music? Does it fit into that world easily?
Well, see, what you're doing is you're putting it onto the instruments. Mm. It's the humans. Mm. It's the people. It's the mindset. It doesn't matter. I mean, a banjo could be a sitar. A banjo could be a sarod. That's not the issue. I mean, as long as Bela sees in his mind and in his heart the ability to be able to make his banjo speak like a sitar, or for me to be able to take my tabla and speak like a washboard or a fiddle. It's in the head over here. So yes, there are elements that meet and make us wonder, are we from the same seed? Like banjo, I came from West Africa, and the gypsies went down there from India and thrived at the time of the Moors who came to Spain and brought the gypsies with them, and the music emerged, and that's why you find flamenco to be so close to Indian music. You know, it's hard to tell where one meets and the other begins. I think there's a seamless injecting of these abilities and these traditions. For some reason, we as musicians sometimes approach interaction with the veil of who I am and who you are, as opposed to no veil and saying, who are we together?
This is a very tense and difficult time in the world with tragic conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East. In 2012, you and Shakti played a concert in Ramallah in Palestine.
Yes.
I'm curious, how do you see the role of music during times like this? And can music play a role in fostering peace in times of injustice and violence?
Of time and time again, over the course of history, artists have shown to the world how to coexist, how to live with each other, and how to interact and imbibe and emulate each other without any egos, without any borders, without any fences, with the ability to understand each other, to allow each other the space needed, because of our ability to be able to embrace with no questions asked and no conditions. Now, if that kind of process be applied to our daily life and our politics or whatever that divides us as people of different countries or different cloth, I don't see why we cannot live together in peace. I mean, it's up to the powers that be to be able to learn from this interaction and apply the template to what's out there that runs our world.
Our listeners can learn more about your work and purchase tickets for your upcoming concert on November 2nd at ZakirHussain.com. Zakir, I'm a fan of many, many years. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your music and your words. It means a lot to me that you did this today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to my guest, Zakir Hussain, and thank you for listening. Subscribe, download, and listen to Cultural Manifesto at wfyi.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.